Is it possible that there is a book that is in the midst of 65 other books found in your Bible that gives us prophetic previews of things that has happened in the past, but also gives us a sneak peek into events that have been foretold for the future? That's what we're going to cover today in today's podcast.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, family? It is Wednesday, March the 13th. It is awesome to be with you guys tonight. I want to officially welcome everybody to the broadcast. We'll start off with our podcasters, Apple, Spotify, wherever you hear your podcast and get your podcast from. We want to welcome you to the broadcast. Again, this is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero. We want to welcome all of our viewing audience, you guys on Rumble, you guys on YouTube, you guys watching from the main website or wherever you may be watching or viewing this from. We welcome you, of course, our regular viewers. And if you're new, we want to welcome you. We want to acknowledge you. Let us know in the comment section below or the chat, depending on where you're watching from, if you're new and where you guys are joining us from. All right, guys, before we get started, please do me a favor and smash that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. This is going to push our content out there so others can be blessed with the material that we got, that we give you guys week after week after week. We want to let others find our channel and discover our podcast as well. So please do that when you get a chance. Also, again, we want to let you know that we do have a free app available on Apple and Android devices. Again, just download our app today, hit yes to push notifications, and this is how you're going to keep up with all of our content, and it's going to be readily available right there at your fingertips. So without further ado, guys, just like I said at the introduction of this podcast, there is a book that is one of the most fascinating books when it comes to eschatology or Bible prophecy outside of the book of Revelation. Written by John the Revelator in 95 AD while he was exiled to the island of Patmos. There's another book in the Bible, and it's called the Book of Daniel. Now, consequently, if you take the Book of Daniel and you take the Book of John, you're going to find massive similarities between the two. Both prophets saw into the future. Both prophets saw a coming kingdom that would be ruled and reigned by the Antichrist. Both prophets saw these desolations, these wars, these famines, the wrath of God, the tribulation. Both of these prophets saw these things. One prophet, Daniel, was told to write these things down and shut up and seal the book until the time of the end. And the Bible tells us, it gives us clues that in the time when the book would actually be opened will be during a time where there in which, watch this, will be a generation that the Bible says that many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. Now, John, on the other hand, was told that to prophesy these things that shall shortly come to pass. Again, one is told to seal the book. The other is told it will open. And once it is open, it will come to fruition very quickly. Now, what I'm about to show you today is absolutely fascinating. Please, again, if you know anybody, relatives, friends, coworkers, acquaintances, neighbors that are intrigued and love Bible prophecy, you need to invite them in here right now. There's plenty of time. We've just started. Get them in here, invite them into the program, send them the link, send them the information. If you're on podcast, call them up, text them up, get them on here, because I'm telling you, this is going to be fascinating. So I'm going to go to the book of Daniel today, and I'm going to show you things that I believe parallel with present tense today, but then I'm going to show you some things that has not yet come to pass, but I believe that you're going to find the prophetic picture of it and the prelude of it in events that has historically taken place thousands of years when that book was compiled. So this is going to be a great segment today. All right, so if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to open to, we're going to go all over the place here, guys, in the book of Daniel. So don't get comfortable in one location. But we're going to start with the book of Daniel, chapter 1. All right, while you're turning there, I'll pull it up here in just a second. Let's go with number 1. If you are one who takes notes, write this down. Ready? Number 1. Here we go. We're talking about current events paralleled with the book of Daniel in that time versus this time. Here it is. Number 1, the Babylonian system. Now, you're going to hear me use this term a lot in this segment. When I talk about the Babylonian system, I'm talking about this system that was in place in the time of the captivity of these young men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, and even later on, Ezekiel was part of that. But it was the system that was ruling and reigning in that day. It was absolutely demonic. The influence was being driven by the kingdom of hell. Make no doubts about that. But in this case, in the opening of this, we see Nebuchadnezzar, who is the king that is ruling an area called Babylon, or what we would call ancient Babylon, which was, by the way, consisted of Iraq, Lebanon, and Syria. Again, the Bible refers to it as Assyria, but in that day, it was, again, Babylon consisted of what would be modern-day Iraq, Lebanon, and Assyria, or today would be known as Syria. This all is going to play a big role in this as we get later on into this message. All right, so number 1, ready for this? There was a system of Babylon in place. It was implemented and it was enforced by the leadership of that day, which was Nebuchadnezzar. He was the administration, and then all of his powers under him, the government, if you would, of Babylon, or the Babylonian system. Watch this. Number 1, the Babylonian system was taking men, young men and women captive at an early age. And the first thing they did was they would change their identity. Let me say it one more time. I know I kind of skipped around a little bit. The Babylonian system took young people. Not only did it bring them into captivity, and we're going to tell you how they brought them into captivity in just a second, but they changed their identity immediately. That was the first thing they did. Watch this. Let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar. Again, that's in Iraq in ancient times. That's where that was. And by the way, that's where the Tower of Babel came from. And anyway, it says he was carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Verse 3, then the king instructed Ashfenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children, I said children, of Israel, and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles. Look what it says here. Young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace. Now, guys, I apologize. I didn't pull that up on the screen. So here it is. Again, I'm in Daniel 1 if you're listening, watching. Okay, ready? So we see here where the king was taking young men. These are not just ordinary individuals, but he was handpicking young men. Come on, the young generation. And watch this. It said, from among those was the sons of Judah, who were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now look what it says in verse 7. I'm going to highlight this. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. I said they changed their identity. It was the first thing they did. They changed their names to Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was not their real names. These were all changed by, watch this, the system of Babylon. Look, the point I'm making is, tell me if this is not the case today. You look around you. Pay attention to what's going on. Satan has been working overdrive, using every tool at his disposal. And in order to attempt to confuse and destroy an entire generation, how? By keeping them confused, oppressed, and depressed. He's convinced many of our young people today that they are a different gender than what they were born with. They're not good enough. They can't measure up. they were not who they... Satan is convincing them that they don't have a purpose. He's managed to get the elites. Now listen to this. Here's the tools he's using. He's using the elites, the powers that be, the government. He's used everything from entertainment, music, social media, and so forth to control and manipulate our children. Education. Don't be deceived, my friend. He wants to change your children's identity at an early age so they will never discover who they truly are in Christ. If they ever fully got that revelation, if they ever truly get this revelation of who they are and their identity in Christ, they know, or excuse me, when I say they, the kingdom of hell, Satan, knows that individual, whoever that is, that woman, that man, that young man, that young woman, when they fully come into who they are in Christ and their identity, they now become a threat, a tremendous threat in these last days to the kingdom of darkness. And listen, guys, Satan is furious. He is, and I'll get more into that in just a second, but this is why he is working overdrive in this current hour. Just like he did in ancient times, one of the ways he brought a generation into captivity was by changing their identity. When they change their identity, they lose their original purpose and their intent. Come on, somebody. All right, write this down if you're taking notes. Ready? Number two. This, we're talking about events thousands of years ago that are happening again. Remember, Solomon said, that which was is that which shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. Can anything that's happening now, can it be said that it was never done or has not been done in times past? That's what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Here it is, number two. The Babylonian system is feeding our young people poison through social media, entertainment, music, movies, video games, and education. Why do you think that all hell is breaking loose? Because the U.S. government is trying to ban TikTok. It's one of the most poisonous, venomous social media platforms out there, guys. And it is absolutely corrupting, confusing, manipulating, and destroying our young people. And thank God that, I'm all for banning that garbage. Get rid of it. We don't need it. It is absolutely responsible for destroying our young people. And listen, and Satan is fuming because he's losing one of his weapons of his arsenal in this hour to bring these people into captivity. Have you ever seen the content that is on TikTok that the Chinese government allows? Oh, and by the way, I don't know if I've told you this. Maybe I have, maybe I haven't, but here's a little fun fact for you. The algorithm of TikTok in America is completely different than it is in China. In China, their algorithm is centered around the education of their young people. It's informative, it's educational, it is wholesome to a degree, but it is all geared around their education and their development. But you come over here in America, and China has purposely programmed the algorithm to numb and dumb a generation. Absolutely the most dumbest stupidest stuff you could ever find on the internet is right there in the cesspool of TikTok, along with Facebook Reels and YouTube Shorts and all that nonsense, and Instagram. All that stuff is right there, guys. And TikTok is just one of many of these things. I want you to go to look at Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. So here you have Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it says here that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now look what it says here: with the portion of the king's delicacies and or the wine which he drank. So there was the delicacies of the king and the wine of the king. Listen, it's no secret that Satan has literally spoon-fed our kids and the children of this generation his delicacies and his wine. Let me explain. Listen to me. Satan is fattening up this generation for the slaughter, making them numb and dumb, making them useless in society, making them stuck in abundance of idleness, just like the cities of the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day. Listen, wine is an intoxicating drink. Satan is using a great assortment of drugs and substances to keep the young generation inebriated. He knows that if he ever had a true, Satan is threatened by our young people having and experiencing a true encounter with a living God, that if once they taste of that, they would never desire, come on, the king's delicacies and his wine, come on, ever again. Because all that stuff is a counterfeit for the real and authentic that God has for us and our children. All right, y'all ready for number three? We're kind of going through these kind of quick. Some of these will go faster than others. Number three, if you're taking notes. Now, again, we're talking about past tense at this point, parallels. Ready? Number three, this is really cool. There was dreams and visions being poured out, and the discerning and those who had the Spirit of the Lord on them understood the times and seasons in which they were in. Wow. I know that's a mouthful. Let me say that one more time. We're going to show you this in Scripture. Dreams and visions were being poured out upon a generation at that time, and there was a generation of discerning and those who had the Spirit of the Lord upon them who understood the times and seasons in which we're in. Friends, let me show you that in Daniel chapter 2. All right, this is Daniel chapter 2. Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, plural tense, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. And then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king of his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. So to make a long story short, come on, let me tell you what happened. The king, the magicians couldn't interpret it. The astrologers couldn't help him, and the sorcerers couldn't figure it out, and the Chaldeans couldn't figure it out. And eventually, he sought someone by the name of Daniel who had the gift, come on, of understanding and unraveling and getting revelations of enigmas and discerning of dreams and visions. And Daniel also had that Issachar anointing on him, wherein which he was able to perceive the times and seasons in which we're in. Now how's this prophetic? I'm going to tell you how it's prophetic. Come on, if you know your Bible, you'll know in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 30, that the Lord has told us that in the last days, according to the prophet Joel, and it was confirmed by Peter, that God is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. And it says, sons and daughters shall prophesy, old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. He said, I'll pour out my spirit upon men servants, upon maid servants. I'll pour out my spirit on those days. Listen, what I come by to tell you today, just in the time, listen, even in the time of Daniel, even in the time of Babylonian invasion, Babylonian captivity, the Babylonian system was intact. God still had a remnant in the land. God still was using young people then. God still had those who had the anointing and the discernment of the sons of Issachar. They knew that the times and seasons in which they were in, they had an ear to God. They understood, come on, They understood that there were prophetic implications to everything that was going on, even though it was dark, even though it looked bad, even though there was corruption in the land, even though it looked like there was no hope, and even though it looked like they were going to remain in captivity, they held on to the promises of God. Are you still with me today? I'm trying to tell you today, just like in that day, there is the same today. Even in the midst of the decline of America, even in the midst of what all the turmoil that's happening, on the verge of civil breakdown, moral collapse, all of this happening, the economic collapse, the signs in the heavens and wonders in the earth and all this stuff that's happening today, even in the midst of that, I've come by to tell you today, I don't care what some dry, dead up from plucked up from the roots, twice dead theologian tells you, I'm telling you today that God is still pouring out his spirit upon sons. He's still pouring out his spirit on the daughters. He's still using us in dreams. He's still using us in visions. He's still giving us discernment of the times and seasons which we're in. Come on, come on, just give the Lord a hand clap, a praise, a hallelujah, an amen. Come on, somebody say amen in the chat room today. That brings me to point number four. Are you still with me? Point number four. Ready? Listen, oh, you're going to like this one. In the midst of the Babylonian Empire, even with all of its influence, power, manipulation, and control, and I just touched on this while ago, there was a remnant that remained strong and committed to the Lord. Your Bible says of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that they possessed all matters of wisdom and understanding. The Bible says they were found to be 10 times better than all the magicians, all the astrologers, and those that were within the kingdom of Babylon. But don't miss this important point. A huge part of this was because Daniel, your Bible says Daniel, and we know, according to the scripture, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fall into this. They purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves with, come on, the system of Babylon. I come by to tell somebody today, listen, if you want God to use you in these last days, if you want God to raise you up and be a voice crying in the wilderness, if you want to be one of those sons of Issachar, you want to sound the alarm, you want to be a watchman on the wall, my friend, it's going to require everything. It's going to cost everything. It's going to cause us, it's going to require us to be set apart. It's going to require us to say no to the culture of the day. It's going to cause us to say no to what the system of Babylon is offering, the king's delicacies, the wine, the intoxication, come on, the influence, the fame, the fortune, the platforms, the money, the wealth, the prestige, the fortune, all of this stuff is being laid at our feet and our disposal if we'll just bow down and worship, come on, the system of Babylon. But thank God there's still a remnant in the land that says no to the fame, no to the fortune, no to the money, to the wealth. Come on, they say no to the king's delicacies. They're saying no to the king's wine. They're saying no to the comfort of these things. They're like Moses, who in which the Bible says refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Oh, I got to pull this up. Listen to this. This is so powerful. This goes right along with what we're preaching today. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26, it says this of Moses, who was enlisted into the heroes of faith. In your Bible, it says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, he chose not to identify himself, come on, with the culture of that day, of the system of that day. He knew who he was. He understood his identity and he understood his purpose. In verse 25 of Hebrews 11, it says that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Come on, let me say it again. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Come on, is there anybody out there today and listening by podcast, watching by YouTube, watching by Rumble, or however you may be listening or watching this today, that you are sick of the capitulation? You are sick of the compromise in the body of Christ. You're sick of shepherds and pastors and bishops and evangelists every week that are selling out, selling their souls to mammon, selling their souls to the culture of this day. come on, surrendering to the Babylonian system all so they can get an identity, so that they can get, come on, recognition, so that they can get fame and fortune and prestige. Come on. Is anybody else sick of that? Where are the Moseses out there that are saying, you know what, you can keep all of it. I would choose to rather to be afflicted with God's remnant and with God's people, knowing, come on, that there is a reward at the end of this thing. For what profit is it for me to gain the whole world yet forfeit my own soul? So I'm trying to tell you today, even in the midst of everything going on in this Babylonian system that is still alive and well today, and come on, we're going to see it emerge. I haven't even got to the future stuff yet. We're going to see the future emergence of the Babylonian system on steroids. And if you, listen, if you're not willing to make your face like flint and draw a line in the sand today, you know what's going to happen? If you don't choose today to follow Christ and make that decision today, and you straddle the fence, then listen, when this Babylonian system rises again to it's here in the earth today, but it's going to go to a whole other level. I'm going to prove that to you in just a moment. And when it gets to that point, friend, you will compromise. You will fall victim to a great delusion that will sweep the earth. All right, so I've shown you some events thousands of years ago that are absolutely applicable and relatable to current events. They're prophetic in nature. They're surfacing again. It's the same spirit, same system, and the same devil that is doing all this in our day. Now I want to fast forward. I'm going to show you some events that have not transpired in our lifetime that is coming based on the patterns and the word of God. All right, here we go. Ready? Number five, if you're taking notes. I believe with all my heart that there was a major clue to the final beast system and final kingdom that will emerge in the last days, and it's found in Daniel chapter 4. Listen, in the midst of these dreams that Nebuchadnezzar received from the Lord, by the way, that was interpreted by Daniel, and I'm going to read this in just a moment, but I told you I'm going to kind of jump around here a little bit. There's a cessation of empires that will rise and fall, and Nebuchadnezzar would be a part of those in as far as Babylon and the Babylonian Empire. But in Daniel chapter 4, the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar saw in visions upon his head while he was in bed. This is, let me show you this, where this is at. I'm going to pull this up. Again, this is Daniel 4:13. There was a watcher, a holy one. This is an angel coming down from heaven. And he cried aloud and said thus, chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beast get out from under it and the birds from its branches. Now listen to this next part very carefully. Verse 15, nevertheless, leave the stump and roots in the earth. I said, leave the stump and the roots in the earth. Bound, listen to this, bound with a band of iron and bronze. So you got to get this. So when you, listen, if I go out here and cut down a tree from my yard and leave the stump in the earth, depending on the situation, there is a possibility that this thing can grow again. And this is exactly what's happening here. So the roots of a certain empire in history was left in the earth, and he gives you clues of what it is. He says it will be bound with a band of iron and bronze. Listen, this tree in the book of Daniel was Nebuchadnezzar and his empire, which was Babylon. And the Lord spoke to him and said, and again, Daniel gives the interpretation of this, Nebuchadnezzar's empire will be cut down, and Nebuchadnezzar himself will be brought down and brought into a time of judgment. And we know, according to scripture, that's exactly what happened. He was stricken with the disease and afflicted for 7 years and casted out from his own kingdom. After 7 years passed, he repented and was restored. But events, watch this. But remember, the stump remained in the earth with a band of iron and brass. I propose to you today, and listen, guys, I don't have time. I can't spend 45 minutes on this to prove this because we'll never get through this message. But the stump and brass and iron, stump, brass, iron, all this is a major clue to what the final beast empire will consist of that will emerge in the final days. Ready for this? It will be the ancient kingdom of Babylon, again, that consisted of Iraq, Assyria, and Lebanon. Guys, the Grecian Empire of that day, later on it came about, was, and scholars will tell you, they were known as the thighs of brass of that statue. The Grecian Empire existed from 330 BC to 146 BC, and it was ruled by Alexander the Great. But then you had, you know what the iron is? That's Rome. You had the two legs of iron on the statue from 146 BC to 476 AD. So this final, watch this, when this tree grows again at the end days, John saw it. Listen, Daniel didn't see this. Daniel saw the root of this. He saw the stump of this. Daniel saw seven empires of prophecy, but John saw all eight of the empires of prophecy. He saw the eighth and final empire, which again is ancient Babylon. Let me show you this one last thing, and then I got to move on from this. Now let's jump over to the book of Revelation. John saw this. Ready? And then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. This is the Antichrist. And on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his head, heads, plural tense, a blasphemous name. Again, this word heads here is, these are nations, kingdoms, empires. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear. Leopard, bear, again, we're the same. This is what was consisted in that root system, in that stump. And his mouth like the mouth of a lion. you have Rome, Greece, and Babylon. The dragon gave his power, that's Satan, his throne and great authority. By the way, his throne is going to be, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, Revelation chapter 11, and in the book of Daniel, it will be in Jerusalem at the temple that will be constructed in the last days. Watch this. I saw one of his heads. That's empires. It's not the head on your shoulders. You don't have but one head, singular, not two. I saw one of his heads as if it been, look at this, it had been mortally wounded. Remember, guys, the tree would be cut down. It would take a mortal wound. It would, only the stump would remain. And his deadly wound was healed. It would be restored. It would rejuvenate. It would come back. And all the world will marvel and follow the beast, a.k.a. Antichrist. So they worship the dragon unknowingly because they're worshiping the Antichrist, who, in essence, they're worshiping Satan himself, who gave authority to the beast and worship, look at this, the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him? All right. So again, number five, I believe the book of Daniel gave us a clue to what this final empire that John saw, that is the eighth and final empire that will emerge in the last days, that will be controlled by the Antichrist. He gave us clues here in the book of Daniel of what will consist of that makeup of that ancient Babylonian empire. All right, number six. Now, this one is going to get, listen, if I ain't got your attention with any of this stuff, this one will definitely get your attention. Ready? Take this down if you're taking notes. I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart this is coming. For America. Did I get your attention? It's coming for the West. Judgment will fall upon America like we've never seen, and she could very possibly turn completely secular. Go read history. And it's already happening, friend. And this will result in a regime change, a major transition, a new administration that will come in the future. That will secularize, there we go, America and the West. It will make it look like nothing that we've ever seen in history. Now, I put a note here, possibly even leaving us or leading us into full captivity to another nation. Now, I know that's a lot. Let me say that one more time. So if you're taking notes, you can write this down. I believe based on, and it's not just in what I'm going to read to you in the book of Daniel, but it's, you can read Jeremiah, you can read the book of Isaiah, you can read the book of Nahum, you can read the book of Joel, you can read the book of Zechariah. I believe based on all these things, Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, I believe judgment will fall upon America like we've never seen in our lifetimes. And there could be in the future a regime change, an election, if you would. Someone will be voted into office. And this nation will turn into something that we have never experienced in our history, that, or at least in our lifetime. Now, it'll look a lot like stuff we've seen in the past, because history repeats itself. But I'm talking about, I'm 47 years of age, and it's, you know, I've been very blessed to be born in 1977. From 77 to 2024, it's been great. What do you want me to do? Apologize for that? I can't help that. I didn't choose to be born in 77 and live to 2024 so far. But so far, with the exception of the last, 15 years or so, it has been great. We've been very blessed. We've been very prosperous. But there is a slow decline. The writing is on the wall. And I'm going to say this. I believe that if we make it through an election, we make it through another 4 years. I don't know how long we got, guys. I'm just saying that we could see a transition in history that could bring us into full captivity to another nation. Now, what do I base this on? I base this on the book of Daniel, chapter 5. Now, here, let me tell you what. So here we have a transition of administration. Nebuchadnezzar is out. Belshazzar is in. Now, look what it says here. Belshazzar, who is now the king, made a great feast for a thousand of his lords and drank wine. Interesting. Here we go. Feast and wine. Delicacies and wine. Again, same spirit, guys, just a different position of leadership. All in the presence of the thousand. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. This was absolutely just a slap in the face to God. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem. And the king and his lords, his wives, his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the, quote, gods of gold and silver. Now they're praising other gods other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the gods of silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Now, how many knows when you start doing that, if you want to tick God off real quick, just start doing that nonsense. Now, look what happens. In the same hour, I said the same hour. Oh, you do know that Mystery Babylon will be destroyed in 1 hour's time, don't you? In the same hour that they are feasting and playing and worshiping their false gods, look, what does it say right here in your Bible? The fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand of the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. So could you imagine an unseen, this would be like in the White House. You have an administration there celebrating, committing idolatry, abominations, feasting before their gods or Satan, and on the White House wall, the wall of the White House, the interior wall, an unseen hand begins to write something on the wall. And your Bible says that this completely freaked him out. In fact, your Bible says then in verse 6 that the king's countenance changed and his thoughts troubled him so much so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees were knocking against each other. Come on, we would say he was shaking in his boots, literally. Why? Why was he so terrified? Because I believe Belshazzar knew it was judgment day. So listen, we all know the story. He sought and he found a man of God to come in and give him the interpretation. And here was the interpretation. And on the inscription on the wall was written, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin," which is the interpretation of God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Friends, listen to me. I'll say it and I'll say it again. America is not exempt from the judgment of God. And if we continue in the path that we're going and we don't see a reprieve, there's no repentance, no remorse, and no turning back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Eventually, our days will be numbered. Our kingdom will be numbered. It will be finished. It will be weighed in the balances. It will be found wanting, and it will be divided, and it will be given to another. Are you hearing me today? All right, number seven, write this down. Number seven, if and when our nation falls into a regime sort of like Jezebel and Ahab, I'm talking about worse than what this current administration is. I'm telling you guys, I foresee if this pattern holds, which I see, what's coming is going to be far worse than the Biden administration. It's going to be far worse than the Obama administration. It's going to be far worse than the Clintons. It's going to be far worse than any. And for all you people that don't like Trump, it'll be far worse than Trump. It'll be far worse than the Bushes. It'll be far worse than whatever. Again, whether you're a donkey, whether you're an elephant, whether you're Republican, whether you're a liberal, whatever the case would be. Again, I believe there's an administration that will rise to power when all of this is taking place. America will be found in wanting. It will fall into judgment and a new leadership will come into place. And then we're going to bring about number seven, right? Ready? Write this down. Number seven, governmental decrees will eventually be passed here in America that will bring the greatest persecution against Christians and Christianity that we have ever seen in our lifetime. I'm going to say that one more time. I see in the future, based on patterns of the book of Daniel, governmental decrees will eventually be passed here in America that will bring about the greatest persecution against Christians and Christianity that we've ever seen in our generation. So watch this. Everybody's celebrating. Nebuchadnezzar is gone. Here comes Belshazzar. He's wicked. He's gone. Everybody's celebrating. They think it's great. Come on. You think just because you get Biden out and you get somebody else in there, if we don't repent and if we don't turn back to God, you think it's going to be great and it's going to be dandy and God's just going to turn a blind eye to all the sins of our nation. But I've got news to tell you today, friend. It's not about a Republican. It's not about a conservative. It's not about Trump. It's not about Biden. It's not about an independent. It's not about a political party. It's about if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves in prayer and turn from their sins and their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven and then shall I hear their land. So you had a transition from Nebuchadnezzar to Belshazzar, and then Belshazzar's out and here comes the new kid on the block. Here we've got a new president in town. We've got a new sheriff in town. Here comes King Darius. Oh, now King Darius is going to be great. He's going to treat Christians great. Nope. Because listen to me, just because there was transition of powers and transitions of positions and people in those offices, there was still the same Babylonian system that remained. The same spirit was still there. Now watch this. Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one of them. Look at this. So Daniel was promoted. Daniel was a man of God. Daniel was a prophet. Daniel was a seer. Daniel had the anointing of the sons of Issachar on him, and he was promoted to be one of three governors. But verse 3, and then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps. God was favoring him. God was blessing him. God was setting him apart. And remember, we already know that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's delicacies and with the wine. And that was under Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel, come on, didn't change his position because the president's changed position. Oh, Listen, some of y'all, look, I'm going to ruffle some feathers today. I'm going to preach my message the way I want to preach it. Some of y'all, listen, it's amazing how you think that judgment's here and it's the worst of times as long as we're under the Biden administration. But if you get Trump in office, it's almost all of a sudden it's like great days are here. We're blessed. And you forget completely that we're still defiling the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're still turning from him. We're still practicing abominations in the land. We're still doing all the same sins just because we have a different person in position. So Daniel didn't compromise with the culture, regardless of the transition of the position. Come on. But watch this. So again, the Bible says he distinguished himself above the governors, above the satraps. He had an excellent spirit upon him. And the king thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the king, King Darius, was going to set him over the entire realm. So that, listen to this, verse 4. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Uh-oh. So the government, not the, and I'm trying to make this modern vernacular, not the president, but those under him was threatened by him. They didn't like him. Come on. The Congress didn't like him. The Senate didn't like him. They didn't like his prayers. They didn't like his commitment. They didn't like what he was preaching. They didn't like his content. So watch this. They conspired a way to find fault and charge in him. But your Bible says in verse 4, they couldn't find no charge. They could not find any fault in him because he was faithful to the Lord, nor was there any error, nor was there any fault found in him. So watch it. This is absolutely astonishing. So these men said, quote, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. We can't find fault in him. Oh, come on, somebody. I got to listen. I'm going to pull this away so you can see me. We can't find fault in the man of God, so we're going to go after his Bible. We're going to go after the Word of God, because in that Word is his God in which he worships. Now, in case you've been living under a rock somewhere, you know what the listen. You know, not only are they trying to silence preachers now and evangelists in places in like London. In places like Canada, and now it's creeping over to America. But you know what the center focal point of the targets is becoming now? It's this. It's the Bible, the Word. We can't get. He has an excellent spirit. He shows up to work every day. He does an excellent job. He's career minded. He's dotted every I. He's crossed every T. But if we can find fault in his God, which he worships, then we can pin him to the wall. So look what it says, verse 6. Again, Daniel 6:6. So these governors and these satraps thronged before the king. Now look at this. They come before the king. And they said, and now they butter him up and brown nose. Oh, King Darius, live forever. And all the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps, the counselors, the advisors have all consulted together. The entire administration, the government, the Senate, the counselors, the Congress, they've all conspired. Look at this. They've consulted together to establish a royal statute and make a firm decree. And that, watch this, whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. And now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed. Come on, this is a legislation. We want you to sign this legislation that if any Christian is praying to Jesus, come on, I'm going to preach my message today, then there will be strict and harsh consequences. And in this case, they were thrown into the lion's den. Come on, that's in Daniel chapter 6. They were met with a death penalty. He said, Brother Ricky, that could never happen to America. Please do not say that. If you say that, you let me know that you are literally ignorant of the Bible. You are naive of this Babylonian system that is already alive and well and in the earth today. So again, this is where all this is leading, guys. The internet censorship, going to social media, podcasts, all the suppression of information, the shadow banning, the censorship, guys, that is literally just a stepping stone to where it's going. Everything that happened with the lockdowns, with the pandemic, and they were coming against pastors, coming against preachers, shutting up the churches, fining the churches, arresting pastors, putting them in jail. That is a drop in the bucket to what's coming. Look what's happening in Canada. There's a bill that they're passing in the law that they're stripping people of their religious rights, all in the name of hate crime legislation laws. And don't think that won't come here to America. Again, watch, I'm in my message. Let me continue in this vein. If the right regime, if the right administration and the right leader comes into power and they have the strings to pull, they have the influence to use, and they know the people to get it done, it is not a matter of if, but when it comes to us here in America. All right, that leads me to number 8. Watch this. There is coming a government and a leading administration that will create an icon or an image and a system wherein which it will demand the worship and the pledging of that citizenship to its system, or it will face death. Let me say this again. There is coming a government and a leading administration in the future that will create an image. In the Greek, it's icon. In Hebrew, it's the same word there. And a system, an image and a system of buying, selling, and trading, all revolved around the sole commitment, the pledging of their lives and their souls to this administration, whoever this is, and to this ruler who will control the whole thing and work along another individual, or they will face death. Now, can we find this in the book of Daniel? Did this happen in the past? The answer is yes. In the book of Daniel, chapter 3, your Bible says that under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar, he made an image of gold who was so many cubits high, so many cubits wide. He put it in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon, and he gave forth word to the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, all the officials of the provinces to come to its dedication of this image, which Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And when there was a sound of music, now we just did a podcast on this, what, last week? There was a music that was heard, there was a herald that was given. And through this orchestration of instruments, the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, the symphony, all kinds of music, people were commanded to come and fall down and worship this image. And if they did not comply, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. This is where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come into play. Because they didn't bow down in that day. They were part of that remnant that did not comply. Come on, I said they did not comply. And because they did not comply, they were met with harsh repercussions. Now you do realize in Revelation 13, there's coming an Antichrist, there's coming a false prophet, there's coming an image of the beast, there's coming a mark of the beast. Both of these systems, by the way, are instituted by the false prophet to all directing worship and the commitment and the pledging of their souls and their lives to the Antichrist. All of it's found in Revelation 13, which John saw in his day, which again, nothing new under the rule and reign of Nebuchadnezzar. In the book of Daniel, we see this. So again, that's a prophetic parallel. Guys, look at everything that's happening. And by the way, today's Wednesday, March 13th. Tomorrow, we're going to be on here with Bishop Larry Ragland. You do not want to miss this program tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We discuss a little bit more about this in detail with some of the information coming out. So you don't, please don't miss that tomorrow. And think about this message, incorporate that message tomorrow, and you'll get an even better picture of this. And then even on Friday, this coming Friday on the 15th, I'm going to give you some more information on this. Again, what I'm trying to tell you guys is this Babylonian system was alive and well in that day. It's still alive, still present, and it will be directly responsible for the emerging of this eighth and final empire of prophecy that will be ruled and reigned by the Antichrist and the false prophet, and all these things are repeating themselves. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, this is just, I mean, where is the good news in this? Here is the good news. Because even in the midst of all that that's revealed in the book of Daniel, let me tell you what else is found in the book of Daniel. And write this down. Ready? Here's your ninth and final point. Number 9, Nebuchadnezzar was given a vision from the Lord, wherein which he saw, listen to this, the return of the King of Kings, come on somebody, and the Lord of Lords, because he and Nebuchadnezzar saw him return to earth and destroy all the existing empires that will rule and reign. That he will destroy them together, and come on, he will set up his kingdom, and he will rule and reign with a rod of iron. Now you say, where is that in the Bible? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go to the book of Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. I'm going to pull it up right here. Let's go on down here to verse. We're going all the way down here to verse 31. Here's what Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar. You, O king, were watching and behold a great image. This is that head of gold. This is that the arms of silver. This is the waist and bronze that he saw. He saw the legs of iron. He saw the 2 feet and the 10 toes made up of iron and clay, the mixture, come on, of iron and clay, of flesh and metal, the age of artificial intelligence. Come on, in the last day, the Antichrist emerges out of those 10 toes. He emerges out of those kingdoms in that era, in that time. Listen what he says. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest of arms and silver, its belly of thighs and bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron, partly of clay. Look what it says in verse 34. You watched, O king, while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the earth, the whole earth. I come by to tell you today, I want you to know who this stone was that came out of heaven, that Daniel saw, that Nebuchadnezzar saw. It was a stone cut out without hands, and it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay. I'm telling you, when you, come on, guys, I could preach this right here. If you don't mind, I'm going to preach for the next 2 minutes. When he's telling you that, listen, I'm going to give you a prophetic clue here. He's telling Nebuchadnezzar, there will be a generation that will be alive and existing, that will see the emergence of the 2 feet and the 10 toes. And he gives you a clue, guys, within the 10 kingdoms that will emerge, he said it will be partially iron and partially clay. You do realize, listen, I'm not going to be dogmatic about this. I'm just giving you one interpretation of what does it mean, partially iron and partially clay. But you know, there's kingdoms like China that are actively working on creating, come on, an entire military, entire army of cyborgs that would be part metal and part flesh. I'm telling you, part iron and part clay. So, and we have the numbers and the capacity and the military might to bring about these 10 kingdoms. According to John the Revelator, they will give their power over to the Antichrist in 1 hour's time. Daniel saw out of those 10 horns comes a little horn in the midst of them and plucks and uproots three of them. And we know who three of them are. It's Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. But here's what I come by to tell you today. This is the good news I want to tell you today. Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, he said, "Oh king, you saw, come on, the return of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he comes back in the days of the 10 kings." Now listen to me, stop for a second. If he comes back in the days of the 10 kings and we're seeing the 10 kings emerging as we speak, what does that tell you? I'm going to tell you what it tells you. It tells you what Jesus told us in Luke 21:28. He said, when you begin to see all of these things coming to pass, he said, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. I wish somebody in the chat room would get excited about the coming of the Lord. I wish somebody on Apple and Spotify would get excited about the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I wish somebody out there would get excited with me that when he comes back, he won't be voted in. He won't be chose. He will come back without your permission. He's not going to ask for the permission from the ACLU, not from the conservatives or the Republicans or the Democrats or the liberals or the independents. He's not going to be of an affiliation of the donkeys or the elephants. He's coming back. Come on. He is he who was, which is, and is to come. The first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega. He is, come on, coming back in clouds with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all the wicked and on the ungodly upon the earth, according to the book of Jude. I'm talking about our Messiah, the Son of David, the Son of Man. Come on, I'm talking about the Son of David. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Is this exciting today? Again, please, guys, share this, like this, get the word out there. Again, hit that bell notification, hit that subscribe button, and get it out there for people to see this broadcast. I believe they'll be excited to know how close we are in the time of the end. And again, of course, pick up your free app today. Again, available on Apple and Android devices. Just simply go to your Play Store, whatever that looks like for you. Hit yes to push notifications and you're squared away. Of course, guys, listen, if you're blessed by this ministry, informed, equipped, encouraged, edified week after week after week, please pray about becoming a monthly partner. There's two easy ways you can do that. One is electronically through the app or through the main website. Again, that's endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Go to the app. If you got the app, go to the bottom where it says donate. Click there. It's going to take you to a page. You can give. There's so many different ways you can give there, whatever works for you. Or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen. You can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, guys, once again, it's been a great pleasure to be with you on this Wednesday night, March 13th, for this great prophetic viewpoint. We're going to sign off for today. Again, don't forget, tomorrow night, Thursday, March 14th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here, we're going to be on the Big Picture Kingdom Intelligence Report with Bishop Larry Ragland. We've got a great program for you lined up, so don't miss it. Be a part of that as well. So until we see you next time, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.